Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. And somebody has my iPad somewhere. Yeah, give it to me. Thank you. Sorry.
We were all wondering if you were speaking off the cuff. Everyone was waiting.
I will do quite a bit of that. Let me first take this opportunity to apologize for coming late for this meeting. I had made all the arrangements to be here in time, but we got into a situation in Amsterdam. Our plane went off the runway, and it took a whole hour to get it out of the that situation. But let me say this, that I'm honored to address this important assembly. I consider this opportunity a profound honor for both the people of Kenya and the entire African continent. Why trade matters to everyone is a most appropriate theme because it introduces the people and their interests right into the heart of the global discourse on trade. It means that the World Trade Organization can no longer be seen as just a forum for arbitration of competitors' interests. It is a proper place for global leadership to consider the legitimate aspirations of all people, regardless of their origin. Ladies and gentlemen, this theme therefore suggests that the world has drawn important lessons from recent history and the need to incorporate the human element into this discussion. Trade is as old as human society. Indeed, trade both defines and is defined by human activity. It is a great opportunity to bring together parties who have yet at the same time are in need. The mutuality of these conditions enable these parties to manage their needs and surpluses in a way that encourages production. Exchange is vital. Exchanging what we have for what we need is the essence of trade. This is true for trade at all times, in all places. It is a critical feature of prehistoric bartering as well as modern high-tech complex and sophisticated transactions. Ladies and gentlemen, trade has shaped our world in many indelible ways. The acceleration of global exploration was driven by the need to find new trading routes and markets to service various industries. The evolution of nations and states are similarly informed by important trading considerations, access to valuable commodities, and the control of important trading routes. Although trade issues were mainly articulated by merchant classes, there is no doubt that trade has exerted great influence on the lives, thoughts, and activities of all people. For a long time, Africa was seen as a vast repository of resources needed for trade and industry throughout the world, and nothing more. These resources were perceived to belong to no one. Indeed, the continent was generally perceived to be uninhabited and ungoverned. As a result, trade, which led to eventual trade formations in Africa, did not in any way take into account the views and interests of Africa's most critical resource, the African people. Until recently, trade relating to Africa bore two constant features. One was an aggressive regime of exploitation by global consensus, where African resources did not translate into meaningful value for Africans. Second was a tradition of completely discarding the validity of legitimate African aspirations. These attitudes catalyzed impunity in global trade that drove Africa right to the bottom of world ranking in anything meaningful, despite possessing vast resources. Today, however, things are different. Africa's resources and populations are increasingly putting the continent ahead in terms of global importance. The democratization of many states and international institutions and processes means that every nation and every person counts. Globalization has extended the reach of single individuals, identifying the role of our people in world affairs. In return, this In turn, this therefore means that the interests of 1.1 billion Africans is vital to global governance, and that activity on a global scale also affects the individual. Trade matters to the people of Africa because trade matters to everyone. African leaders have recognized that trade is important for national development and the integration of the continent into the global economy. It is for this reason that African leaders through the Africa Union have made clear pronouncements on the need to promote trade in the continent by encouraging greater intra-Africa trade through economic integration and the many building blocks that this integration are the regional economic groupings, which are expected to eventually give way to an African continent free trade area, hopefully by 2017. Let me just make some two, three concluding remarks by saying the following. Realizing that trade across the African continent is that important, African leaders like myself realize the critical importance of what we must do to catch up with what is happening elsewhere in the world. We realize, for example, that intra-Africa trade is at an approximately 10%, while inter-trade in Europe is at 60%, in North America it's at 40%, and in Asia it's at 30%. Therefore, we need to pull up our socks, tighten up our belts, and up our game, so that beginning with intra-Africa trade, we can integrate Africa into the global trading regime. And there are a couple of issues that are of significant importance as African policymakers that we must address. Issue number one is the realization that it is not possible for trade to flourish unless we build the necessary infrastructure to facilitate the movement of men and women, goods and services across the African continent and across the globe. For example, in the East African trading bloc, the reasoning behind the trading blocs is because it is becoming increasingly necessary that we eliminate the borders, the barriers, and create bridges out of the barriers at our boundaries, and to turn our customs offices and people from being obstacles to erecting stepping stones for citizens, goods, and services to move across borders of countries. Issue number two, as I said, is infrastructure. Kenya, Ethiopia, South Sudan, and Uganda are working on a joint transit corridor that will carry a pipeline, a road, and an ICT highway to facilitate, again, trade across those countries. November 1, this year, we will be starting the building of a standard gauge railway that will join Kenya, South Sudan, Uganda, Rwanda, and Burundi, in the clear realization that it is necessary to join all these trading blocks with infrastructure that will facilitate trade, investment, and enterprise. Let me also say that security is a major concern to matters trade. And with all our challenges in our region, there is greater realization in the continent that we must apply resources available in our continent, both human and material, in securing our continent. That is why it has now been agreed for an African standby force that will ensure and secure the security of our country. We have already committed resources, human and material, as Kenya, to East Africa standby force to ensure that the East African trading bloc is safe and secure. Let me also say that the interests going forward of the region is informed by the clear desire by the citizens of our continent to hold to account leaders in matters relating to trade, investment, and enterprise relating to issues that concern the resources of the African continent. Now there is a greater demand, and as an African policy maker, I am happy to note that there is consistent pressure from our people that leaders must be held to account on the manner in which resources within our continent are used. And progressively, it is not about win-lose. It's about win-win. Those who are trading and investing in the African continent, and for the record, let me say here that this is the continent that has the highest growth of the economy in the world at 5%. This is the continent that has 7 of the 10 fastest growing economies in the world. This is the continent that has the youngest population in the world. And this is the continent that has the highest return on investment in the world. There lies the opportunity in our continent. But we too realize that that opportunity must be an opportunity that benefits those who want to invest, but also the people of our continent, so that we create a win-win situation. Those who want to trade, do enterprise, and invest in our continent get a good return for their investment, but the people of Africa and our region get jobs and get value for the resources that are exploited. This is the mutual relationship that informs the engagement with the continent under the new arrangement. I know I had 5 minutes. Let me just make this final remark. I will jump over the other issues here and say that trade does not take place in a vacuum. It requires an environment that is secure and where people are guaranteed for their personal rights for both intellectual and material resources. It is for this reason that many African governments have tried to put in place laws and regulations that protect personal rights and guarantee ownership of property and wealth, which cannot be taken away without proper compensation. Ladies and gentlemen, let me say in speaking to this meeting that regarding the Doha round, the Doha round of trade negotiations, we in Africa are concerned that members have not been able to conclude the negotiations in over a decade, I mean over 13 years, which has placed development at its core. The new momentum for the WTO Bali Ministerial Conference in December 2013 shall be taken forward to achieve an outcome that addresses the development needs and aspirations of developing and least developed countries. We urge the membership to expedite the preparation of post-Mali work program that will be instrumental in accelerating the process towards the conclusion of the Doha rounds. Thank you very much.
Thank you.